friends? Why should such things be in a country where prosperity abounds? In your cold, cruel, heartless world, little is known, or thought, or cared, about the awful amount of suffering of the dear little children, and I did the only thing left for me to do in this case, I stayed with the starving little one till she crossed to this side of life, where all is love and kindest care for such little ones, and many an one comes here out of the heartless earth life, and we, of the spirit world receive them into open arms, and pillow them to rest upon love-heaving bosoms, and at last, so gladly and sweetly, their dear little eyes and ears open to the beautiful, glorious, enchanting harmonies of our delightful country. And as they grow, we educate them, we lead them along continually into ever-increasing beauties and new fields of delight, and we lead them on, and on, and on, and while this little one that I tell you about is with us here tonight, yet, when they reach out into upper spirit life, with their longing eyes ever meet glad eyes, and encouraging words, and warm hearts, they do not care to come back to your cold, cold world. 918. Comes now Professor Faraday and continues his manuscript. Began at last seance, which is part of concluding article. See paragraphs 1148 to 1157, 919. The spirit Dr. Reed, following the spirit Faraday, came to the condition of visibility, and made a handwriting in the following words: A. Friends, tonight I shall relate something to you that I feel will be of deep interest to you, as it has been of much interest to me. 920. About a month ago there came to these seances a very dignified Chinaman. As he was accompanied by Ada, who is already known to the circle, and wore the insignia of the Brave Hearts, I gave him a cordial welcome, but was too much occupied at that time with my various duties to enter into conversation with him. I noticed, however, that he was very punctual and evinced a great interest in the chemical part of the work, and this attracted my attention. 921. And last evening, at the close of the seance, I asked him to remain and give me the pleasure of a long talk with him. We sat down in the seance room, and talked for a long time. I learned from his conversation that he is an exceptionally fine chemist. His name is Chan Wo, and he has been in the spirit world many years. He says that the Chinese are all spiritists, and that it will be a very easy matter to make spiritualists of them. He told me many interesting things. Among them, he told me of the Sin Fan Ti, or sweeping of the tombs. 922. This ceremony of Chinese corresponds with the Memorial Day of Americans. There is a deeper significance in the efforts made by the Chinese in their observance of the day, the desire that the spirits of the departed shall share in the material things of life, and for this reason, the graves of the departed are spread with a feast, such as only Chinese cooks can prepare, and often, the spirits have feasted from the essence. The food is gathered up and distributed among those still in the mortal body. This ceremony, no doubt, is the source of much merriment to Christian people, but there is far more truth in it than appears on the surface. A. There are earthbound spirits who suffer the pangs of hunger, and no doubt, may have an opportunity to appease that hunger at this ceremony. 923. There are people who believe so firmly in the resurrection of the body that they often stay around their graves for months, refusing all offers of aid, discarding all words of advice. They remain, awaiting the resurrection of their dead bodies. 924. The belief that clothing is required by the spirits of the departed is another interesting idea connected with this ceremony. For this purpose, pieces of paper designed to represent cloth are burned at the graves. The idea of the destruction by fire signifying that the paper will, later on, take such form as the spirit body may desire. My Chinese friend says that many of his people have this idea so firmly implanted that many spirits must be clothed at that time, by wiser spirits, before they can be persuaded to leave the cemeteries. All else that the physical body may have enjoyed is made an object of solicitude. 925. To the Chinaman, a burial far from home and kindred is one of the dark prospects of the future life. Thus, special attention is paid to those who do not have any near kindred or friends. Such are the harmless forms of respect for the dead. 926. This worship could not, in any way, Be called idolatress, for the feast, or sacrifice, is made to invisible spirits, and not to anything in the shape of idols. When a Chinaman pays his respects to his ancestors, he knows that, in the time to come, when he shall cast aside his mortal garb, he will not be forgotten and his grave not neglected. They have perfect trust in the spirits of their departed loved ones. Therefore, the step would not be too great from their present religion to spiritualism. I have found a great deal to admire in the Chinese spirits I have met. I find them to be sincere workers and searchers for the truth. 927. This spirit is very anxious for someone who understands the spiritual laws to develop the mediumship of, say, half a dozen Chinamen, and send them to China to promulgate this wonderful truth. He assures me that all that is needed in his country is to make a start, and spiritualism will be the universal religion of China. 928. I have worked so long in the interest of spiritualism that it makes my heart glad to meet a man like Chan Wo. I found he has learned many wonderful facts, that are new to me, in chemistry, as for instance, he can materialize so perfectly the different designs in cloth. I have requested him to come before you in his native costume, the first time an opportunity offers, and I feel sure that you will agree with me that his powers are marvelous. Signed, Dr. Reed E. K. Coffin. 929. This spirit came to the condition of visibility appearing to be in mirthful mood, and did not proceed far in his conversation with the circle until he was thoroughly recognized by all. Besides other things, he said, "Well, friends, I see the devil has not got you yet. I meet many spirits over here who seem to be afraid of something, and the other day, one fellow asked me about the devil, and if he was likely to meet and see the old rascal, and I told him that, as long as he did not face a looking glass, he would be saved the horror of meeting the devil face to face." 930. Say, Jabez, how was that? Secretary, "Well, Erastus, I guess you have that down as fine as you can get it." Spirit, say, "Friends, I met a good sanctimonious brother, who had been wandering round in search for some time, and I said to him, 'Brother John, haven't you found God yet?' And he said, 'Not yet, Brother Coffin, and I begin to suspect that God is quite scarce.' And I asked him, 'How about Christians?' And he said, 'It seems to me now that Christians are about as scarce as God is.'" 931. Spirit, "Now let me say to you mortals that I am heartily glad to be here and to see you people who are doing your little mite toward reforming the religious notions of the people, for your world is full of ignorance and superstition, fostered by the great army of priests and preachers. I was a preacher, but I began to find doubt about these things. I once knew a woman who tried to be good and to do good. But this good woman met up with a time of misfortune, and the world turned its back, and I advised the poor woman to pray to God for help and food, but she had prayed, and the more she prayed the more the wolf howled about the door. The one to whom she prayed had nothing with which to answer prayer. The prayer was all right, but directed to the wrong God. In that direction there is nothing in prayer, but there is a God that is omniscient, omnipotent and omnipresent, whose granaries are always full to overflowing, and who has ever an abundant supply for all her children. That God is universal nature. Pray, but pray to nature, pray to be good and to do good, and nature will respond. And remember, that a personal being cannot be omniscient, omnipresent and omnipotent." 932. Among the several ancients that appeared were three for Mr. Winkler, one claiming to be an Egyptian inventive genius by the name of Cavart, and one Marcus Aurelius Antoninus and one Epicurus. A. Friends Tees, of the circle, remarked that his principal purpose in making the long journey from his home to this place was to see the phenomena, not for himself, but so that he could go back home and assure his friends of the fact of the phenomena, for he would be able to say to them, "I know these things are true, for I have seen them with my own eyes." 933. This gave to Denton an opportunity to come forth again and say, "Friends, you cannot investigate for another. Make your own investigations and for yourselves. Let others seek as you do, for themselves. Let them look out for themselves. When you went to school, it was not to learn for another, but for yourselves? You cannot learn for another. And we might add, one can no more learn for another than he can eat for another. Seance number 59, January 13, 1903, 933/. This seance was on Tuesday evening, but no visitor being present, the guides announced that this would be utilized as an intellectual seance, and accordingly, one after another, five ladies' spirits were sent out before the circle in visible form, and each gave a spoken message, as follows. Sophia 934. I have not been in the spirit world as long a time as some who come to you, but the guides here decided that some part of my experience might be of benefit to some people of your world, and I gladly try, in this way, to say something concerning such of my experience as may be profitable. I am now in a very happy condition, for as soon as I came here, I tried to learn all possible for me to learn concerning the spirit world, and thus, my development proceeded very favorably, and recently, I have been very much aided by this band. I have attended several of your seances here, and must say that I have intensely enjoyed these meetings. And all those spirits participating in this work seemed so exceedingly happy that it buoyed me up, and I grew stronger at once. 935. When on earth, I lived in a country where my home was an earthly paradise, but it would not retain the members of my family long to enjoy it. One by one they left that home and crossed to this side. I wondered why God was so cruel in taking them away from such a home and loved ones, leaving that paradise as a dark wilderness, and lonely hearts to beat there. I sought consolation in trying to be a Christian, but the more I tried, the darker and deeper my grief and sorrow. No word of comforting knowledge, all was without assurance, and doubts came strong and thick and fast. At last I doubted God, and then became a materialist. I thought I had seen more sorrow in my beautiful home than poorest peasants had ever known, and after I became a fatalist, I gave up all hope, and at the age of 27, I crossed to this side of life, and to my utter surprise, I awoke in the blessed reunion with all my loved ones gone before. And now I am happy in this delightful work of helping to reveal to mortals the glories that await them on this glorious side of the once mystical river. Good night. When this enchanting spirit had gone away, a childlike form appeared, talking as a little child would, saying, "My name is Rosalie 936. The doctor in there told me to come and talk to you and tell you some words if I can. I have been here a long time. I belong to the Brave Hearts. I am a messenger spirit. I got my little speech, 'cause I was little when I came out of my little body, and it is easier to make me up that way. I knew nothing of anything on earth, 'cause I came so young. I am away high among those pure innocents. They took me there in their arms. Mama knows where I am, and she tries to get up high where I am, but she cannot. They told me I had work to do all the time. I see so many children, poor little children, on the earth. I try to reach many of these children, to try to help them. They do not see me, except some do. Some see me, and they are glad, and I help them and meet them when they come here. One sweet little girl will soon come from her little squalid room, so cold, she sees me and asks me to help her, and I will take her when she comes. Oh, she is such a sweet little girl. And soon the little sufferer will be out of pain and sweetly at rest in my pretty home among a whole world of happy, childlike spirits. Good night. Thankful Clark Banty, called Thank You 937. A sister to Mrs. Dye, that Mrs. Dye has often met face to face in these seances, and now comes this spirit, and in this way endeavors to convey to Mrs. Dye a few words of comfort, saying, "I have been here some time, and am glad that sister remains and comes often to these seances. They are doing her good. She feels closer to the spirit side, the longer she stays. I hope she will continue to get light, for this truth makes her feel glad, and to realize more and more that we, who have gone before, are not dead, but alive as ever and can manifest the same. And too, sister is getting quite susceptible to us, and the more she comes to us the more she knows us. Since coming here, I find many ignorant spirits. I have become a teacher among them, and some lessons require them to visit Earth, and I try to get some of them to these seances, and many repel the idea. They ignore all of this spirit return, and some of them say that they had rather risk their chances of finding God, for whom they have already long been searching, than to come to one of these seances. August 938. One attired in very gorgeous but purely white raiment, glittering with points of light, said in English, "I as Augusta, I have been here, in the spirit world, many hundred years. I was a Roman citizen, and was buried in the ruins of the city of Rome, and many more than I were buried in the same ruins, and others of them will report to you. The kind friends who have charge of this work, on the spirit side, invite us here, and by their aid, we are able to stand again to mortal sight, upon the earth that nourished us into personal being." Hermia 939. When the Lady Augusta had faded away, another lady came to visibility and said, "My name is Hermia. I was buried in the volcanic debris of Pompeii. My whole family was lost there. We heard the awful rumblings of the enraged mountain and tried to flee, but darkness was upon us, even at midday, no light, save the lurid glare of the angry mountain. Hot embers shut us in, inch by inch they buried us, all attempt at flight was vain, and we were sealed in by a river of lava. But after all these many hundreds of years, you chosen ones, behold us, our souls again standing upon earth, having escaped the seal of the great fiery mountain. In the form of mortality we could not flee away, but in the spirit condition, all the fiery elements of the universe could not blockade the highway of our flight from the buried city to a city whose streets cannot be darkened, for there is no night there." And when this glorious convoy or celestial ladies had spoken and gone back to their invisible condition, Professor William Denton 940, stood again in our midst, and in his happiest and most eloquent manner, said, "Friends, we have yet considerable to do, and I must say that I think this entertainment exceedingly interesting, and it surely must be surprising to you. It is grand to behold people who have been in spirit life for hundreds of years, and hear them discourse of their wonderful experiences. I suppose, however, that you see but little change in them as compared with people of your earth today. But you must remember that when they return to you, they must be so as to be recognized by you as people of the human race. If they would appear, speaking their own earth language, you would know nothing about it. You would not be able to understand a word they might utter. Hence, we must have them prepared to address you in your own tongue. Therefore, such of them as we may think of benefit, as missionaries, among English-speaking people, we have to acquire a knowledge of your language, so that, when they have a thought for you, they can express that thought in symbols which you already understand. But it may be questioned by some who these are. But how, or why, should we present them otherwise? We hope, we trust our readers may learn this fact, to wit, that our missionaries are trained in efficient schools for the specific work the wisdom of the higher spheres may design for them, according to their natural capability. A. Then there are so many of earth that are crude in almost every way, and so gross in their nature and mental conception, that it is hard, almost impossible, for spirits to approach them in any way whatever. 941. There is another subject I shall endeavor to discuss at this time. People of your earth attend too much to Christianity. Almost everybody must exhibit more or less deference to Christianity or making personal war upon it. Why should each one object to every other's style of religion? Many of your speakers attack them and their Bible, and even sneer at and decry them, and go so far as to scandalize the religious devotee and to call names. All this does no good, but harm, rather. 942. You cannot win the friendship of a person by making war upon him and his religion. You cannot get a person to examine your theory, or fact, by antagonizing him. I have said that many of them are hypocrites, and spoken harshly of the results of their religious teachings, but, let what I say go into book form and it is not received as a personal attack. The spiritual rostrum must reverse their manner of dealing with the opponents to spiritualism. And many on the rostrum as bitterly attack phenomenal spiritualism as they do the believer in any system of Christianity, and when they decry the phenomena, They may as well pronounce the whole physical universe a sham, for the physical universe is one infinitude of materialization. We propose to try to change the sentiment of the spiritual rostrum. Seance number 60, January 15, 1903-943. No visitors present. Mrs. Dai present for the last seance for a time. Minutes of the last two seances read and entirely approved by Circle and Spirits. Dr. Reed announces change of time to 8 o'clock p.m. for seances to begin, and 4 seances per week, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday evenings. Spirit Professor Denton, in his happiest mood, made a running discourse touching the scope and general design of the work the spirits have done and are doing here, substantially as follows. 94.4. We hope to give, and to have given, to you matter suitable to reach all classes of minds. If we would give common matter altogether, some would think we know but little. On the other hand, if we should give altogether scientific matter, the mind not trained along scientific lines would not understand it, but there are persons who are not and who will not be satisfied with anything. It is so dry that everything will burn up and starvation remains for the whole world, or, is so wet the whole affair will be drowned. And such continually grumble at conditions. If it is fair today, yes, but it will spoil it all with rain, hail, snow, cyclone, or an earthquake tomorrow. Never satisfied with conditions, always trying to cross before getting to the river or bridge. But, friends, all conditions are necessary to meet all conditions, and the more you have, the more you want. So we are giving matter to as nearly satisfy all conditions of mentality as possible, and remain on the plane of truth. And we do hope that what we give will be given to the world. We know that these works, all of them, will be sharply criticized, and we want to keep ourselves in position to answer back with demonstrable facts. Still, we know there are people who will not believe though they witness the demonstration. Such we care not to deal with, but some will not accept a plain fact laid right down before their own eyes, but will accept what the preacher says, no difference what. A. But we want to drive away ignorance and superstition, and teach the people that none but themselves can wash away their sins. And if there be those who cannot see or accept our truth, we feel that, surely, it will do some good equivalent to our efforts to place it before the world. Distribution of flowers 945. One of the most enjoyable entertainments of these seances is distribution of flowers, by the spirits, to their various friends in the circle, and on this occasion, Mr. Winkler having kindly remembered the circle with an elegant assortment of cut flowers, which were placed upon secretary's desk in cups of water, the spirits made a magnificent display of delivering them. All of the spirit ladies being clothed upon with garments so white as to be almost dazzling, and of various patterns, and different headdress, and their forms of different sizes and heights, as they would have shown in their physical bodies while living on earth, to such degree as that each one was recognized as soon as coming to the condition of visibility. 946. The first to come forth from the cabinet to the secretary's table, take a choice flower and walk over to her sister, Mrs. Dai, was the spirit Thanky, a spirit who had left the mortal body years ago, now back to earth, majestically walking across the room and delivering a beautiful memorial carnation pink into the hands of her sister yet living the earth life. Reader, behold an emblem of immortality. Contemplate the scene. While this glorified immortal returns to her natural condition of invisibility. 947. In like manner as did the first, the spirit Margaret Dayton took a flower to Mr. House to deliver to his wife, this spirit's sister, who is absent on account of ill health, and 948. Frankie Sehus delivers to her father, Dr. Sehus, a flower in token of the filial and paternal affection of a daughter standing on the resurrection side of life, and the father waiting patiently to go hence. 949. And now comes Mr. Joseph Simpson's mother from the morning land and delivers into the hand of her son a sweet floral token of enduring maternal love, with a God bless you, my dear son. 950. And little Nelly comes chattering out, takes a flower and gives to Red Feather to deliver to Uncle House to take to Auntie House. 951. Sister Anne, in behalf of all the secretary's relatives and friends in spirit life, takes and puts into secretary's hands the whitest geranium of them all, and John Simpson bows to his father, and thus closes this glorious entertainment. Seance number 61, January 18, 1903. 953. One visitor, Mrs. Humphrey, of Kansas City, present. The spirit Professor Denton declared the minutes of the previous meeting to be approved by the band and asked whether or not the circle also approved them, and was heartily answered by the circle in the affirmative. 954. Doubtless for some good and sufficient reason, the work proceeded slowly, and not a great deal of matter given as compared with results of some other seances, and here, the reader might be informed about the intensity of the light in the room, and as to the fact that, although the light is produced uniformly by one lighted large-size coach candle, shaded by a single thickness of red tissue paper, nevertheless the light of the room very much varies in intensity, and the materializations still more vary in distinctness. Experience has taught us that, when conditions are good, and the circle in harmonious mood, the light in the room is 50% to 100% more intense than when conditions are not good. We have also learned that forms are more or less self-luminous, according to conditions, and that the dress of the lady forms is at times dazzlingly self-luminous, so as to very greatly increase the intensity of the light in the room. And all this luminous variation depends upon conditions, sometimes on the mortal side, sometimes on the spirit side, and sometimes on both. And favorable conditions are such as permit the free liberation and flow from the circle, as a whole, of the animal and spiritual magnetisms of the different members of the circle. And perhaps, for our benefit, some of the learned spirits will be pleased to enlarge upon this variation in luminosity. Lady Novelist 955. A lady form, dressed as the lady forms usually are, appeared to the circle, and in the usual manner of the lady's speech, said, "I am Novelist. I have been requested to tell you of some of my experiences. I have been in the spirit world between 200 and 300 years. Some may suppose a spirit ought to be able to fix time periods more definitely. But when we reach this side, we are no longer subject to arbitrary divisions of duration, at least not as the people of Earth count time. Our light is not your light, except when a spirit comes into the aura of some mortal for some temporary purpose. We take no cognizance of your divisions of time, and thus time periods are obliterated from our memories, or nearly so." 956. I have been engaged, to a great extent, in missionary work among spirits, and have met many different classes, and I find that opinions differ here the same as on earth. And the conditions in which they move are as widely different here as on earth. Some are very progressive, others, exactly the reverse. Some mount upwardly as on wings of eagles, with only slight assistance, others grovel in ignorance, darkness and their old earth superstitions, from short durations to periods of many hundreds of years in extreme cases. Nevertheless, redemption through natural processes is reached at last. I try to enlighten the dark, lowly and needy ones. Some cases I have to lead back to their old earth conditions to find for them a beginning point, and it is very difficult, sometimes, to have one see that he or she is in spirit life and may return to view the old earth home, but intelligent, patient persistence succeeds at last. So I have helped many thousands, and it always does me as much or more good than it does the one rescued. 957. There are many, many more to save that are in spirit life than there are on earth, but we have better means of missionary service, and far more efficacious, than you have on earth. We gain their confidence and lead them along, showing them fact after fact all the way. Not so with your earthly missionaries. They have but little else than mere theory upon which to feed the souls of inquiring persons, and such dry husks starve the soul and dwindle it away into darker conditions, and many of these earth missionary-fed souls reach us in such dark, starved conditions as to require many years of your time for us to have the soul rounded out into the full enjoyment of a well-developed child of nature. Some of the many whom I have been instrumental in leading out of darkness into light eternal may manifest here. In fact, We lead hosts of wandering ones here, and by help of your benevolent band they get their start toward a happier condition in the life immortal. Good night.